Welcome to the Warsaw Community Church podcast, where you have a chance to listen to our most recent Sunday morning message. Please take a minute and subscribe to this podcast. And if you're interested, learn more about us by checking out our website at www.warsaw.cc. We hope this message inspires you, helps build your faith, and gives you a new perspective on your journey. And now, here's today's message.
Well, good morning, WCC. Hope all of you are well today. Those of you watching online, thanks for joining us this morning. This is a big day for us. We are celebrating life change for over 40 people today who are going to be baptized in the course of the three services. We had, kind of a big deal, kind of one of my favorite days of the year, because really what we're celebrating is very simple. It's the fact that God extends to us this thing called grace, where nothing we can do can make us right with him, but he did it by going to the cross for us. And we're celebrating externally today what has happened in the lives of these individuals internally. And that is that God came to earth in the person of Jesus Christ. He lived a perfect life, died a criminal's death on a cross, rose on the third day, ascended to heaven to be with the Father, and sent back to us, his church, the Holy Spirit. And what we're doing today is we are publicly acknowledging that that is true in our lives. You know, there are just a couple of things in the Bible that we are commanded to do. You know, this is not a suggestion. One of them is to remember all those things through communion, his death and his shed blood and his broken body for us. That's what he did for us. But what baptism symbolizes and what we're commanded to do is that that's what he's done in us. Not just for us, but in us. Now, I want to be very clear from the onset today. We do not believe that baptism is a necessity for salvation, but it is a response to salvation. And we believe that all believers are commanded to do this as a public acknowledgement of what has happened inside. So we are excited today to celebrate very tangibly God's work in the lives of a whole bunch of people sitting over here in blue shirts today, of what God has done in their lives, and that they are coming alive in Christ. And this is a moment for them, as it was for, I'm sure, many of you, myself included, sitting out here. You remember the day of your baptism very clearly, and it was a moment where you said publicly, I am his, and I am the church, the ecclesia, the gathered ones of God. Now, why water baptism? Why this outward act? I would go to the words of Marshawn Lynch. How many of you know who Marshawn Lynch is? Beast mode, all-pro running back for the Seattle Seahawks and several other teams, but he was most known for them. And beast mode came about as a result, I think it was a Transformer character or something like that, but it came about because he had one of the most amazing runs in NFL history. He ran 67 for a 67-yard touchdown. He didn't break just one tackle or two tackles or three tackles. He literally broke nine tackles, hence the nickname Beast Mode. But what he was really known for off the football field was his relationship with the press. There was one particular press conference. It was around, I think, the 2014 Super Bowl, where it was a five-minute-long press conference with 100-plus reporters in there, ready to hang on every word he said, and for 5 minutes he said absolutely nothing. Dead silence. And so after this debacle, he is pulled aside by a guy that he trusted, a former player, Deion Sanders, who was a Major League Baseball player and an NFL football player, who he trusted and who was one of the people that he would give an extended interview to. And Deion Sanders asked him, he goes, like, so why don't you talk? I mean, what, do you have a problem with the press, or do you just not like to talk? Because I know you talk to me. And basically his quote was, just about that action. Just about that action. I'm like, let me translate that for you. It's just about the action. He said he would rather act on something than talk about it. And that's exactly what baptism is. It's an action that identifies us with a couple of things. It is an action. It's not enough just to speak about our faith. At some point, all of us have to make a decision that we're going to act upon what has happened in our lives. It's an outward expression of an inward reality. And baptism is about an action that identifies us with two things. The first thing it identifies us with is obedience. Baptism is an action, an act of obedience. In one of Jesus' last conversations with his disciples, he makes this very, very clear in Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 through 20, where he said, when he called his disciples together for the last time on earth, he said to his disciples that they were to go out into the world. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Basically, the last thing Jesus said to his disciples was, go, make disciples, and baptize them. Basically, his bottom line is when they believe, they need to go public with what it is they believe. And that has not changed over the course of the last 2,000 years. It's an outward symbol of an inward reality. And basically, it for them and for Jesus, and it's very clear, it's not enough just to talk about what you believe. It's not enough to just talk about what you've experienced. At some point, we all must act upon what it is we claim that has happened inside of us. Now, I don't know about you, but I remember growing up in a working class neighborhood north of Cincinnati. There was an occasional fight in school every day. And I remember these fights. I mean, you know, it drew a crowd and all of that. But I remember the fights that were not really fights. They were just talk fights is what I would call them. When a couple guys were mad at each other and they were yelling at each other and they were, up against each other and they were ready to go at it. And they just kept talking. And finally they got into, well, your mom and then your mom. And then, you know, it just goes back and forth. And you're like, either hit each other or shut up. That's not a fight. Stop it. We came for a fight. We didn't come to hear you guys debate with each other. And in a way, that's kind of what we need to do. We need to stop using the message of the Bible and start using the methods of the Bible. Start acting upon what it is that we've experienced it. And the second thing that baptism identifies us with is baptism is an action of identification with Christ and with his church. The first sermon ever preached by the church in Acts chapter 2 was preached by Peter, and we talked about this a few months ago. We were doing a series about the early church through the book of Acts, and this sermon that he preached was very similar day after day after day after day, and it was a very simple sermon, and literally thousands of people responded to this message. And here's how it goes, two verses, verses 38 and 39 of Acts chapter 2. Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all of whom the Lord our God will call." Now, can you imagine if I stood up here week after week after week after week after week and said, "Hey, I got a three-point sermon for you today. It's the same one that I did last Sunday and the Sunday before and the Sunday before and the Sunday before. And well, here are the 3 points. The 3 points are this: repent, turn away from your current direction, your current life, repent, turn toward God, and be baptized. Repent and be baptized. Now, this word, repent, is an interesting word. It's come to be known as kind of a Southern gospel religious word. You expect whenever you hear the word repent, that it be accompanied by a Southern drawl. Repent, you know, you hear these guys talk like this. And what this word literally means is to do an about face. It means to go in a different direction. It means to turn around. You're going this way. When you come to Christ, you got to go this way. What are you turning from? Turn from your old way of life. You see, when the folks that are getting in the water today go under the water, this is symbolic of dying with Christ to your old life. You're turning away from that old life, and when they come out of the water, it symbolizes resurrection, a new life, being born again, going in a new direction, turning toward God. Because you see, even when you turn away from some things, turn away from things that aren't good for you, turn away from things you're trying to get away from, what are you turning toward? We're not called to turn toward money or status or fame or whatever else. We're called to turn away from in order to turn toward God. And then we're to publicly acknowledge that through the act of baptism. And it's so interesting in the early church, this simple message drew, it says, some days drew 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 accepted the message that day. You see, something was happening inside of these people. And they wanted the world, they wanted those around them, their family members, their friends, their community, they wanted them to know that something was changing, something was different, something was happening inside of them. It's a public declaration of a new association. Now think about this. When Cookie and I first started dating and we fell in love, what if one of my early conversations with her was like, "Huh, you know, I really love you. We love each other, but hey, let's don't tell anybody. I don't want anybody to know that we're dating." I don't think I'd be married. Well, if you're ashamed of me, then I'll be ashamed of you. And if you're not going to tell anybody about us, you don't really love me. You see, when you first fall in love, you can't keep it to yourself. You tell everybody about it. But why is it so different for so many of us with relationship to our relationship with God? Man, I remember when I first came to Christ. Now, I'm going to confess to you, I am hopelessly evangelistic. But when I first came to Christ, God had done such an amazing work in my life. I couldn't believe my good fortune. I couldn't believe that I didn't have to do anything to earn God's favor, that it was given to me, if I accepted this gift that was given to me, I'm like, that is too good to be true. But it is true. It's too good not to be true, because if you were making up a religion, why would you come up with something like this? You wouldn't. It's got to be true. They probably should have locked me up for the first 6 to 8 months I was a Christian, because I'm sure that I was annoying and obnoxious. I mean, I felt like every conversation I had with a friend, family member, teammate, whatever it was, anybody I was around, I had to tell them about Jesus, or somehow or another, I failed the Great Commission. And I think I've learned over the years, that's not exactly the way Jesus approached it. But that's how I felt about it. I mean, I could not keep my mouth shut. I couldn't keep it a secret. And I know for a lot of you, you're kind of intimidated by the whole idea of sharing your faith, because we have this notion that you got to go door to door. You got to knock on people's doors and, you know, ask them, if you die tonight, do you know where you'd go? And I mean, that's a thing. It's probably worked over the years. I'm not going to do it. As outward as I am with my faith, that is terrifying to me. But I think, you know what, I think a lot of you are like, well, I don't know if I can share my faith because, well, I don't know the Bible that well, and what if somebody asks me a question I can't answer? If I've gotten comfortable with one thing over the last 15 or 20 years is saying, I don't know. God is God, I'm not God. But our greatest tool, the greatest resource you have to share your faith is your story. Your story. Because sometimes, somewhere along the way, somebody you work with, somebody your kids are in sports with, somebody in your neighborhood, let's say they're going through a divorce. Let's say you've been through a divorce, and it's been the worst thing you ever went through in your life, and they're like, hey, man, I know you went through a divorce years ago. How did you get through it? Well, it was my faith. I prayed a lot, and I read my Bible a lot, and I guarantee you they're going to lean into that going, because when a person is at a point of pain and your story connects with their story, it is a powerful, powerful thing. And so really, you know, baptism is a public acknowledgement. And in a lot of ways, think about this. I've been wearing this for 41 years. Now, I wanted to hold up one finger, but I wanted to be very careful in the process of doing that. So see that ring finger right there? It's on my second to the end finger. And I wear this as a reminder, as a symbol of a reality, of a vow that I took 41 years ago. To love Cookie, to cherish her, to lay my life down for her, to be faithful to her for the course of my life. When I wear this wedding ring, which is all the time, it changes the expectations of those around me. It changes the conversation of those around me, or it certainly should. I belong to someone else. I am committed to someone else. I think in a way, baptism is that kind of symbol when it comes to our faith. It's an outward symbol of something that has happened, a reality that has happened inside each and every one of us. And I think it is a powerful, powerful symbol. Why should all of us as Christians, why should all Christ followers get baptized? Not so you can be saved. The only person that can save, the only way you can be saved is through Jesus. But you get baptized as a result of that. But why should I? Well, let me tell you a quick story before we get into the baptisms. It's found in the third chapter of Matthew, which is the first book in the New Testament. And it's a story about a guy named John the Baptist. He went around baptizing people. That's why he was called John the Baptist. Not because he's Baptist versus Presbyterian or Methodist. He's John the Baptizer. He baptized people. And he was really a New Testament prophet that was preparing the way for Jesus, the Messiah. And so he was baptizing people in the Jordan River. And, the way he is pictured, he's kind of an odd duck. But, you know, he dressed funny, he ate funny things. But people listen to this message about repent and turn from your sins, repent and turn from your sins. And so he'd take people into the, it gathered quite a following, and he'd take them into the Jordan River, which is, by the way, where everybody washed their clothes, got their drinking water, you know, basically cooled off in the heat of the day, all that kind of stuff. And so it's a very public place. And he's calling people to repent and be baptized. And the word baptized literally means to wash. And these people are like, they're washing their clothes, you know, they're getting their water. And he's like, repent and be baptized. He's like, what? They're washing stuff on the outside. But he's talking about an internal washing. And he goes, I'm baptizing you with water for the repentance of your sins, but one is coming that is greater than me. In fact, he is so great. He's the Messiah. I'm not even worthy to tie his sandals. Well, right about this time, John the Baptist gets the shock of his life, and we pick it up in verse 13 of Matthew 3. Then Jesus came from Galilee, the one he'd been talking about, to the Jordan to be baptized by John. Now imagine the shock. John's like, whoa, wait a minute. I'm not even worthy of being like somebody that washes your feet or ties your shoes. And John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? Jesus replied, let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. And at that moment, heaven was open and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. And many believe this is the beginning of Jesus' earthly ministry, which it was, but it's more than that. It is another reminder that God never asks anything of us that he wasn't first willing to do. And even cooler is, although baptism identifies us with Christ, his baptism identifies him with us. And that's the kind of God that would die, be raised on the third day, send his very Spirit to live in us, his church. That's the kind of God that we are honoring publicly today. Baptism is a defining moment for all of us. And here's the cool part that I want to kind of leave you with today before we celebrate this amazing thing. This cool thing, this amazing thing that a lot of you are probably struggling with right now as you came through these doors today, is what we're taking action on. Paul talks about it in his letter to the church in Galatia. In verse 27 of chapter 3 in Galatians, he says, for all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. You realize in Christ, you were given a new set of clothes. You were given a new outfit. You were given a brand new identity. And yet so many of you sitting here today, so many of us are struggling with our identities. You know, I'm not smart enough. I'm not attractive enough. I'm not important enough. I'm not rich enough. I'm not popular. I'm not whatever. I'm just not enough. But what every one of these people are celebrating publicly today and identifying with publicly today is that I don't need all that because my identity is firmly rooted in Jesus Christ. And because of him and this new clothing I'm wearing, this is all that I need. What freedom that would be for so many people in our world today, wouldn't it? To know that you're enough because he's enough and he lives in you and he's paid it all for you. And so you don't need to prove yourself day after day after day. And I know for a lot of you, you're like, well, he couldn't possibly clothe me with a new suit because of what I've done. Really? There's nothing he hasn't seen that you've done that he hasn't already taken care of on the cross if you'll just accept that. And so today, in just a few minutes, we're going to celebrate that new identity. I'm going to ask each person that gets in the water three questions. Do you believe Jesus died for your sins? Do you believe he rose on the third day? Have you accepted him as your Lord and Savior? And then when they go under the water, when they come back out, for those of you who are closet case Pentecostals and charismatics, today is the day you come out of the closet. We'll save communion for the Presbyterians and the Methodists and, you know, but today is not that day, because I guarantee you heaven is celebrating and we're going to celebrate with them, right? So let's get started.
Thank you. yourself down, raising up the broken to life.
If you were encouraged by today's message, be sure to subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you stream your podcasts. For more information about the church or help taking next steps, please visit us at www.warsaw.cc or follow us on any of our social media channels. Thanks for joining us for this message and for listening to the Warsaw Community Church Podcast.